Listen, this is starting to get dangerous.
Yeah, this is totally getting out of control.
Look, we've got to do something more.
Well, I tried to remind everybody about the box.
You obviously didn't do it well enough.
I don't like it when you talk to me with that tone.
I'm not talking to you with the tone. You got a bird in your head.
No, I don't. You obviously feel inferior to me.
Uh-oh.
Well, well, well. What do we have here? Isn't this interesting?
You really didn't need to show up.
I mean, yeah, we totally have this under control.
I leave the two of you alone and now the whole house is in disorder.
Look, I'm sure we can give it another try.
You both failed.
She's just pointing out how you obviously weren't up for the task.
Neither were you.
Okay, now you're being really confrontational.
You haven't even seen confrontation yet.
You're a fake. You're a fraud. You're so deeply flawed.
Yeah.
Shoe to drop. You're alone. You are your past. Gotta get back to your comfort zone fast.
Yay.
You'll never be safe being who you really are.
Episode 3, The Adventure.
It's a scarcity complex podcast.
Yeah. Hi everyone, welcome to this week's episode of the Scarcity Complex Podcast. My name is Jay, and I will be your host slash facilitator slash whatever you want to call me as we continue on this adventure together. Today, we are going to be talking about the adventure. What is it? What does it take to go on it? And where does it all lead? But before we do, I wanted to pause for just a moment to acknowledge the specific time period in which I'm recording this episode. I'd been working on the Scarcity Complex podcast for well over a year at this point. Had the first two episodes done weeks ago, had the third one almost done, and was just about to launch all three episodes when we got hit with this pandemic. If you had told me I'd be launching a podcast on scarcity in the middle of a global pandemic, never in a million years would I have believed you. I went ahead and launched the first two, had re-recorded a portion of this third episode, and was about to launch that when the horrific news of the killing of George Floyd broke. There's so much going on right now in the world that is really just beyond any words at all. The New York Times had a great article a while back when the pandemic first began, how this hasn't necessarily been the great equalizer, but it's actually been the great revealer, that it's highlighted the places and in many cases people who were vulnerable before all of this even began. And in some ways, the death of George Floyd has served as another revealer. It's exposed wounds that have never truly healed in our country and in many places around the world. So there is a lot of pain. There's a lot of grief, and there's in many places even a lot of anger in the world right now. And I think some of these current events actually help highlight the two sides of scarcity, that there is indeed such a thing as true scarcity. We live on a planet where there is enough for everyone, yet we also live in a world where not everyone has access to that. And we also know that so much of what we see on the outside emanates first and foremost from the inside. In other words, external reform is totally and completely needed, yet the outer and the inner are all part of the whole process. When we look back at the history of humanity, we know that wars have been fought over this inward desire for more power, more influence, more money, you name it. There's a great quote by one of my favorite authors by the name of Jay Krishnamurti. And this is a quote from page 16 in his book called Freedom from the Known. And he says this, "When we look at what is taking place in the world, we begin to understand that there is no outer and inner process. There is only one unitary process. It is a whole, total movement, the inner movement expressing itself as the outer, and the outer reacting again on the inner." It's super tempting with just about anything to want to make things about the other people or the other person that's the problem. And in doing so, it can sometimes let us off the hook from remembering that more times than not, this discontent, this restlessness, this desire that all of us have inside of us for more and more starts first and foremost from within, that it's an inside job. One of my intents in starting this podcast is to begin to create a container or a conversation around this idea of scarcity, of all these places inside of us where we oftentimes don't think that either we're enough or that there is enough, and how that perceived scarcity oftentimes leads us to creating true scarcity for others in this world that we share together. One small example of this when the pandemic first started was with toilet paper. Everyone, of course, freaked out that there wasn't going to be enough toilet paper, perceived scarcity. So everyone bought more than enough. And in the process of that perceived scarcity, ended up creating true scarcity, where there actually ended up not being enough toilet paper for everyone else because everyone else had started to hoard it. That is a super small but really relevant example of scarcity and how the scarcity complex actually tricks us, getting us to believe that things are scarce when oftentimes they're not, and in the process, creating true scarcity for others. But in many ways, I do believe that all of this is a great backdrop for the topic of today's show, of the adventure. That even with the seriousness of all that is going on around us, perhaps we can still have fun, even with this subconscious chatter and the stories that oftentimes we have going on inside of us. And that not only are we allowed to have some fun, but the best part about the adventure is that we don't have to do it alone.
Oh, love, I'm so proud of you. My goodness, look at what you've done. You put so much work into all this. I always taught you to be a fighter and to never, ever give up. Where would you be without me? It certainly took you just a wee bit of time to get this thing going now, didn't it? Well, at least you finished something. And I certainly hope you didn't ask for help. That would be embarrassing for you.
When you think of the word adventure, you might have an image that comes to your mind. You might think of Indiana Jones or The Hunger Games. It's the hero or the heroine that leaves their hometown, goes off on their own, maybe has like a trusty sidekick or two, but ultimately has to slay at least one dragon, maybe several dragons, may almost die or actually does die, comes back to life just in time to seize the treasure and bring it back to the village that was patiently waiting for the hero or the heroine's triumphant return. That's one example of an adventure. You might also think of an adventure as getting to perhaps travel the world, getting to go to exotic destinations where you have all sorts of fun adventures that you get to do as you leave your ordinary humdrum life far, far behind. That could be another form of an adventure. Or you might think of an adventure as having more, doing more, getting more, maybe achieving your goals, getting more status, more money, more influence. That could be another form of adventure. And all of these are different variations and definitions of some sort of adventure that all of us are probably fairly familiar with at this point. It's sort of what's been sold to us through storytelling, in books, in films, as well as what we're oftentimes told through advertising of all the things that we'll see flash before us that will supposedly solve our problems and bring us nirvana. And one of the common denominators about all three of those examples is that those are examples of an adventure that are outside of us, that are waiting for us to pursue. And that's not the kind of adventure that I want to talk about on today's show. The one I want to talk about is one that is accessible to every single one of us, no matter who we are, no matter where we live, no matter how much we may or may not have. It's an adventure that is ready for us right here, right now, in this very moment. We talked about on last week's podcast how scarcity tends to force us to live life in a box. And when we live in a box, there's generally a lot of pressure. There's standards that we've consciously or not consciously either put on ourselves or had put on ourselves by the outside world. And there's, of course, no shortage of chatter that's constantly going through our head, either replaying the past or worrying about and catastrophizing the future. And it doesn't take much to see that we pretty much live in a world today that doesn't place a lot of value on the act of listening. And one of the reasons why it's so difficult to listen is that oftentimes we haven't created a lot of space in our lives to do so in the first place. So we get hooked and oftentimes looped into the same chatter over and over without ever even having the awareness a lot of times that it's there in the first place. And this internal chatter is what oftentimes sabotages more things than we even begin to realize.
Oh, love, you really are something special. I'm not quite sure where you're going with all this. I'm not used to seeing this side of you. Is this a new hobby? Are you actually going to tell people these episodes you're recording are live? Secret podcaster seems much more fitting for someone like you. I mean, my goodness, how many times have you put your foot in your mouth? Surely you don't want to do that again. If you insist on doing this, you ought to at least run everything by me first.
Do you remember a time when being human meant that you were free to make mistakes, to be messy, to not have it all together? Because nowadays, being human seems to be being equated with what? With being perfect. To have never made a mistake, to have never blown it in a conversation, to have always been perfectly enlightened on every possible issue that has ever faced humanity. That is now the standard for what it means to be human. Or we may fall into this idea that we're only allowed to be just one thing. You can only feel one emotion at a time. You can't possibly be more than one thing or have more than one part to who you are. You're either this or you're either that, and that's it. But all of us have parts of who we are that haven't necessarily had the right nutrients or perhaps the space to be developed. And these are oftentimes the same parts that are easy to ignore or neglect because we have this fear that if we ever did try to cultivate them more, that it might be really messy or awkward if we did. So any sense of nuance, of complexity, that we are these multidimensional creatures living in a multidimensional world is for the most part lost in today's discourse. And instead, certainty is now king. And in fact, you yourself probably have no shortage of things that you were probably convinced of 5, 10 years ago that you look back on and you're probably so grateful that you've evolved and you now hold a different position. If that's the case, what if right now, right here in this present moment, we were willing to perhaps loosen our grip even a little bit on some of the bricks that make up the walls of our box? And this flies in the face of current thinking because we have been conditioned to believe that there is only the singular. There's just one answer. And we have to not only have the answer, but we have to spend most of our life figuring out what that answer is. Or we have to wait for someone else to tell us what that answer is. What if one of the first steps to creating more space in our lives and in our world was letting go of this addiction to certainty that our brains really seem to crave? When you think back to some of the heroes of history, like Nelson Mandela or Helen Keller or Viktor Frankl, you could potentially argue that one of the things that all of those people tend to have in common is that they were willing to embrace the unknown. And from where we stand, we look at their lives and we think, wow, they had a lot of limitations. And none of them had the answers or any guarantee of any kind of particular outcome. But remarkably, all of them seemed to have this palpable sense of inner freedom. And I would like to suggest that they were quite ordinary people, but they had learned to do something extraordinary or something that perhaps was counterintuitive even for those times. And that was that they were somehow able to create space for themselves under circumstances that most of us would find overwhelming. And that they cultivated their own almost inner garden of sorts, where they found these smaller spaces of stillness, even when everything around them seemed like it was spinning out of control at the time. No doubt, all of the increases in technology and resources that we have made our lives so much more easy and comfortable than any generation previous to us. But I'm wondering if one of the trade-offs to this increased comfort and convenience is at times also access to a greater number of distractions that many times keep us from accessing this inner abundance that's always dwelling from within. Yet it's super tempting, isn't it, to get addicted to the latest invention, the latest shortcut, the latest productivity hack, anything that will increase our speed and efficiency by which we can work. Because speed, for the most part, is the new virtue in our world today, without us ever stopping to ask the bigger question of where is all of this going?
Oh, love, did you make your bed this morning? Brush your teeth? Floss like I taught you to? Hope you got your 5-mile jog in, some boiled your egg and had your morning tea. It's remarkable how unproductive you can be some mornings. I've noticed you brought that book with the blank pages in it. What's that for? Have you written anything in it yet? If you're serious about it, surely you write at least 15 to 20 pages a morning. And I hope you don't just fill it up with dribble.
If the adventure isn't about just doing more or accumulating more stuff or accomplishments, what might it be about? Because even in today's world, quote, spiritual things can even be turned into a giant competition and a barometer for success. And oftentimes we have really big goals for ourselves, that if we're going to do something, it better be big and it better be incredibly successful, or we've quite probably wasted not just our time, but everybody else's in the process. No pressure at all, right? This fear of getting it right is the very thing that will oftentimes keep us from even trying or even taking that first small step. And sometimes this either or this all or nothing kind of thinking is what will keep most of us from stepping into anything new, because we look around, we get overwhelmed, and oftentimes we don't even know where to begin. But the beautiful thing in all of this is that there is a space that is always waiting for us anytime, anywhere, that if we have the grace to simply remember that it's there and access it, it's like a freaking superpower when we do. And we all know what that feels like. And even right now, as you're listening to this podcast, do me a favor and just take your hand and put one of your hands over your heart. And just feel your heartbeat with your hand. If you're in a place where you can close your eyes, just close your eyes right now. And just focus on the oxygen that's coming into your lungs. Maybe listen to what sounds you hear in the background. And take another deep breath. And now perhaps open your eyes, or just very slowly take your hand off of your heart. And just notice how something even as small as that, as you're listening to this podcast, or in this case, as I'm recording my podcast, how different you might feel. And that is just one small example of taking the time to pause and of cultivating those smaller spaces where even something as small as 10, 15, 20 seconds can literally reorient our entire perspective for what we were just thinking about a minute ago. Isn't that amazing that that kind of shift, as small as it is, can radically reorient so much of who we are with such a small amount of effort? And the beautiful thing about what we just did just now, or any kind of smaller practice, is that it's not dependent upon anything. It's not dependent upon your performance and how good you've been, how disciplined you've been. It's literally accessible anytime, anywhere. And so when we break things down into these smaller moments, it tends to kind of take a little bit of the pressure off of ourselves that we might experience when we're living under this either-or kind of mindset.
Oh, love, you certainly seem to think you have this stroke of insight now and then, don't you? I'm not quite sure how to tell you this, so I'll just be as honest as I can. It's not nearly as good as you may think it is. I'd rather just spare you the pain now than you being embarrassed later. Reminds me of quite a few things you've done in the past that you look back later and realize was really quite mediocre. Let's not repeat that cycle again.
Oftentimes, as we begin to create space for ourselves, we might then become aware of things in us that we didn't even know were there. And those might be pleasant things, perhaps things that are part of our inner wisdom or our intuition, or they might be stories that aren't very nice, that are constantly playing on auto-repeat in the background that, again, we never realized were there in the first place. And sometimes these stories are things that we never in a million years would say to another person. Yet these are the kinds of self-sabotaging ideas that are going on in our heads all the time. What do we do when we begin to sit with these kinds of things? The good news in all of this is that if you're aware those things are there, that is actually a really great thing, because it begins to open up the space that we're witnessing a story, and that story isn't necessarily who we are. And this is where the muscle of self-compassion and kindness is great to develop. It's a muscle that, I don't know about you, but it's one that I didn't even know that I had for most of my life. Nobody told me that it exists, that we don't have to listen and believe the default stories or the programming that's constantly running through our heads, that we can actually witness them instead and be kind and compassionate to the person who's actually listening to these stories, which is our truest sense of self. And as we're sitting with what's there, we'll also perhaps begin to pay attention or begin to listen and to see things in our lives that are actually wanting to be expressed. Much easier said than done, because sometimes those places don't always feel very comfortable. And when they don't feel very comfortable, we want that certainty. We want what will make us feel like we're okay at all costs, when in reality, being in unfamiliar terrain can actually begin to expose us to a new path or a new story that we might not ever have even considered before. These areas just feel scary because they're new. And new things don't always feel safe or comfortable at first, but they're oftentimes the place where true growth occurs.
Love, have you heard of this podcaster named Joe Rogan? Seems he's quite popular all over the world. He sure must make his mum proud. Apparently, he has millions of downloads. Probably not much different than yours. Oh, dear, I guess I'm mistaken. Well, you may be no Joe Rogan, but both of your names begin with a J. There's something you have in common.
The comparison game. What makes something successful or not? Not only do we have standards for ourselves, but we, of course, have standards for other people. And sometimes other people have standards for us. How many likes you got? There's literally almost no vertical left in our world today where we haven't come up with some way to measure it or some tool to quantify it and to say whether or not this is successful. And do you remember when you were a kid how none of those things mattered? You just created or you just did something because you enjoyed doing it. Most of us didn't grow up with social media, so we even remember a time when every moment wasn't a photo opportunity waiting to be captured and broadcasted back to the rest of the world about how amazing this experience is that we're having right now. And social media, of course, has its positives and its negatives, but more times than not, it's super easy to skip over the experience of what we're having in the moment in an attempt to capture it, of thinking more about that, of how we can capture it, than about actually taking in what is in front of us here in this present moment. I've lost track the number of times I've run into this with this podcast, of my own journey of, can I actually do this podcast from a place of just pure play and fun, without worrying about the results or the outcome or how many people listen to it or even the response to it. Because as soon as I put my focus on the reflection or on the response, then I'm no longer creating something just from this place of pure joy, but I'm trying to manufacture something. And that place of performance or wanting to be good enough oftentimes will dilute the simple purity of what it is that's wanting to be expressed through you and through me. And that is part of the adventure, is that oftentimes the very things that will keep us from taking those tiny, tiny first steps towards something that wants to be expressed through us, that we know would bring us great joy and might very well bring someone else great joy, we hesitate and we don't even take that first step because all of a sudden pressure to be successful or to be big or to be recognized is upon us. But what if this journey could also be a lot of fun? I don't know. Is that something that we think of when we think about life? Life could be fun. And I think as a human species, we kind of have the pain and suffering thing down pretty well. But if life in the box is a performance and we're choosing to venture outside of the box where there are no walls and we're free to roam and discover, what if then this process is actually a whole lot of fun?
So there you go with that whole fun thing again. Most people seem to outgrow that, but you apparently haven't yet. Don't quite see the point of it all, if you ask me. Surely you must know how dangerous and unpredictable some of these things are. It's like driving a car without a steering wheel. You have no control over where you're going, but I can only imagine the damage you'll do to others. You best keep to yourself and not cause too much harm.
And we can't talk about this idea of this inner adventure without, of course, talking about fear. Because anytime we venture into new spaces or into things that we might feel like are unfamiliar, it can understandably produce a lot of anxiety, and sometimes it can even create shame. Like, oh, I should be better at this, or everybody else has this figured out, or look at how messed up my life is and how much I've wasted my life. Whatever the story might be that goes through your head. And a lot of times we've been conditioned to believe that fear is a sign of weakness. That if you're scared or you have anxiety over something, first of all, you're the only person on the planet who does. But secondly, you need to squelch that fear or you need to hide it, and not let anybody know that you're afraid. That's kind of the message that we've been taught about fear. So we basically have an entire internet of people who are deeply afraid. But no one is talking about that very fear. And meanwhile, everyone is sort of taking it out on someone else or finding their other person who doesn't believe what they believe. And we get caught in this endless loop where no one is really connecting or listening to one another. But oftentimes, when you peel behind the fear itself, it's pointing back to something that is deeply vulnerable, of something in you that really wants to know that it's not only going to be okay, but perhaps something that really wants to be expressed and seen. So how do we navigate that fear when it does show up? Because we know that fear is real. That what we're fearing itself might not be real, but physiologically, we can experience the same symptoms of fear when we are truly in danger, if we're really going to get hit by a bus, as we can with the idea of creating something and putting it out into this world. One situation where we're truly in danger, another situation where we're actually not in danger at all, and someone might actually be encouraged by our act of bravery, but we're experiencing the same physiological sensations in our body from two completely different circumstances. That fear is real. And it's tempting to want to just wait for the fear to go away. And more times than not, the fear doesn't go away. And we get this amazing opportunity to what? To do things when we're afraid anyways. And more times than not, fear is rooted in wanting to know that we're going to be okay. And that if we're really being honest with ourselves, it's also rooted in the need to control. But what if part of the adventure wasn't ignoring the fear, wasn't numbing ourselves to the fact that it's there, but what if it was actually just being open to acknowledging that it's there and perhaps even telling someone else that we really trust that we're afraid? What if being aware of the fact that we're afraid is actually a step of courage?
I find it so strange you keep wanting to bring up this whole fear thing. I've not been afraid a day in my life, and neither should you. Seems to me if you keep talking about it, you're just inviting others to see how weak you really are. There's absolutely no reason to let them know about that. I mean, how do you expect anyone to take you seriously?
So you're sitting in this new space. You've perhaps let go of needing to have the answers, or maybe some of the answers. So what's next? Part of what the scarcity complex does is it convinces us that there is only one answer, when in reality, there is oftentimes far more possibilities than just one singular answer that's in front of us. Most, if not all of the time, with any situation in life, there's actually an infinite number of possibilities. We don't always see things that way because we tend to see what's in front of us usually as one choice, one answer, and it's usually the answer of the old story that we've repeated over and over and over again in our lives. But what if, as we begin to practice each of us in our own unique way of stepping into these smaller spaces, what if there isn't one, quote, right answer? Which also means that there's a multitude of possible steps that we could take as well. What if you have the wisdom right here, right now, to know exactly what you need to do in this moment? It might not feel safe. It might not feel comfortable. You might not have any guarantee of any kind of outcome. But what if you have that kind of inner wisdom in yourself that you can trust right here, right now? You have it. I have it. We don't always believe it, but it's there, and all we have to do is access it. And if we let go of this idea that there's just one answer or one right step, perhaps we begin to trust ourselves more as we listen more deeply and trust more fully the answers that are within. And what if our focus wasn't necessarily on making the right or the perfect first step, but having the courage to take that first step at all?
Love, I need to be extremely clear with you. I'm hearing ideas that I just don't like. I thought we'd done a pretty good job keeping a lot of these things tucked away all of these years. Bringing them out to the open probably isn't a smart idea. It's got to feel so overwhelming. I just can't imagine you'd have any idea where to begin.
As we venture into these new areas of our lives, one of the unintended consequences of doing that is that it will oftentimes actually inspire other people to do the same. So imagine a more supportive world where the dominant current was not tearing each other down, but was actually cheering each other on. And I find it super easy to gloss over many of the places in my own life where I actually did something that required a lot of courage, or I took some sort of action even when I was afraid, that I was brave enough to express some part of myself that required vulnerability or accessing some aspect of my creativity. Or maybe it was having a difficult conversation with someone that I really cared about. When we do that, it is super important for us to spend time giving thanks for any small step of courage, because scarcity will tend to get us to focus on everything that we don't have. It will get us to focus on all the possible outcomes, all the things that could go wrong, versus abundance grounds us into giving thanks for everything that we currently do have. And there are hundreds, thousands, and even millions of things that right here, right now, you and I both can be grateful for. Even the miracle of your body alone and of all the processes that are taking place behind the scenes without you even consciously giving direction to them to support all of who you are right now is amazing in and of itself. And gratitude is a lot like a well. The more time we spend in it, the more that the water can slowly begin to rise up and almost permeate and overflow the other areas of our lives. And all of a sudden, that gratitude or that energy can actually begin to influence our perception of how we interact with everything that comes across our path. Our perception of ourselves, of other people, and the world radically changes. And what on the outside changed? Absolutely nothing. The only thing that changed was where we put our focus and our awareness in cultivating and creating that space for ourselves on the inside. So, this is the adventure. It's not about something outside of ourselves. It's not about waiting for that next thing to magically come into our lives to bring us to that place of perfect nirvana. If we wait for those things, we'll just be postponing our destiny and potentially our very own sense of joy, because we're already giving our power away to the external world. Not to mention that we'll end up being controlled by whoever it is that tells us what it is that we're supposed to believe or do. Sometimes it's those loudest voices or those most powerful voices that tell us what it is that we supposedly need to be happy. But what if today you have far more power and far more strength than you might be aware of right now? That there's all kinds of simple and small ways that even right here, right now, you can say yes to your adventure. Anytime you are willing to step into the unknown, you are saying yes to your adventure. Anytime you create even the smallest of space for yourself or another human being, you are saying yes to your adventure. Anytime you surrender and let go of the need to control, you are saying yes to your adventure. Anytime you take a step, no matter how beautiful or how messy it might be, you are saying yes to your adventure. And anytime you reach out for help and to not do it alone, you are saying yes to your adventure.
Okay, love. I guess you're not going to give up on this old thing, are you? That's fine. I understand. Apparently, there's quite a few people doing things like this these days, so I guess it really doesn't take much to do one. Maybe I'll start my own podcast after I eat lunch today. Seems pretty easy to me. I mean, it's not like you've earned a medal or something. So carry on and just remember that this is a giant waste of everyone's time.
So we're going to explore a whole lot more on future podcasts, what this adventure looks like. I've recorded a ton of interviews that I'll probably start airing next, and I'll be recording several more. And I'm going to continue to lean into my own practice of self-expression and vulnerability as I try to give voice to what's coming through me through this super small drop in the bucket of a podcast. But what might that be for you today? What small step is there that isn't 100 steps down the road or some huge, huge outcome that you need to take care of right now? But what's one small thing today that as you listen in your own life that you'd like to explore? And maybe there's someone in your life who you could share that with, and who you could even confide in that you're a little bit afraid. Or maybe you can be that friend to somebody else today. I realize there are lots of podcasts out there, so the fact that you have taken time to listen to mine today, I am quite honored. If this resonates for you, please feel free to subscribe, leave a review online, feel free to share it with a friend. But above all else, I hope that today's show has been a small reminder for you, as it has been for me, of the infinite potential that every single one of us has living inside of us right here, right now. Thanks so much for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful day. It's the Scarcity Complex Podcast.